Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike Florio. Let's bring in Mike Florio here. He joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
We have learned that an unvaccinated Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? He's a big, fat liar. That's my first thought.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi.
How are you, Mike?
On the Score.
Let's talk some football with Mike Florio, as we do on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. Mike is on Twitter, at Pro Football Talk. The creator of Pro Football Talkie of NBC is on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Mike, even though I would say it's been more of a college football story, the ripple effect of some of the coaching movement, the shocking coaching movement, is being talked about everywhere in the football community right now, and the NFL may be sort of reassessing some valuations of their various coaching jobs as well. How has that reverberated into the pros?
Well, most notably with the news that was clearly leaked by the agent for Cliff Kingsbury to ESPN on Sunday, that Kingsbury is one of the candidates for the job at Oklahoma that became open when Lincoln Riley bolted for USC. And then on Monday, Kingsbury did not get angry, did not get mad, did not storm off like Mike Tomlin did when asked about USC. He was very coy about Oklahoma, and he was asked point blank, why don't you just come out and say you're not interested if you're not interested, and he danced around it. And look, it's either leverage to get a better offer from your NFL employer, or at some point it becomes a potential alternative. And I've been talking to a lot of people about what the contracts that are signed by NFL coaches allow and don't allow, and it is a case-by-case, team-by-team thing. There is no standard league provision, and that potentially would become an antitrust problem for the various teams and for the league if that was the case. So you negotiate your contract. You have language in there that applies to whether or not you could leave to become a coach at the college level. Obviously, league rules prohibit a team from hiring away a coach who's under contract with another team. There's a procedure for basically doing a trade, but you can't just show up and hire him like colleges can with coaches from other teams. So depending upon the language on the contract and the will of the team to enforce it, you could have movement from the NFL to the college level if the numbers are right. So that's something people are paying attention to, and some believe it's inevitable that one of these coaches who maybe isn't at the top of the NFL food chain is going to get an offer that is dramatically better than what he's currently making, and it will entail far greater security than 3 or 4 years that you get under an NFL deal. You're getting 10 years fully guaranteed from one of these major organizations. At the college level, we may see guys who are interested in making that jump. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on now that the college money is getting into this new stratosphere.
I think there's no question the Notre Dame job is the game changer. I would put Oklahoma behind that as far as ideal jobs for coaches. But I am surprised that you mentioned Kingsbury simply because of what happened the last time he was a college coach at Texas Tech. He got let go from his alma mater. So to hear that he would be interested in going to Oklahoma, given the fact that he's had a lot of success at the NFL level so far, especially for a young head coach, is surprising.
Well, and you're right. I mean, he couldn't make it in the Big 12 at Texas Tech with a guy like Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback why does anyone think that he would thrive at Oklahoma, and why does anyone think Oklahoma would even want him? You know, yesterday Urban Meyer comes out and says, well, I'm not a candidate at Notre Dame, making it look like he opted out. Maybe Notre Dame is never going to call Urban Meyer. So there's a certain amount of salesmanship that goes into this. But Kingsbury, I think his best play is to seize the possibility of Oklahoma as a way to secure his financial future with the Cardinals, because this is a guy who was on the hot seat going into the season. And he's currently a hot coach with a 9-2 record. If you're ever going to leverage and parlay what you're doing into a new deal, now's the time to do it. And, you know, with coaches, there are no rules. There is no salary cap. There is no limitation. They can get that new contract. It can be whatever the team wants it to be, whenever it wants it to be that amount. The reality with the Cardinals, they are notoriously one of the more cheap franchises in the NFL. It would be interesting to see how much they would eventually pay a Cliff Kingsbury to keep him around, given that his first 2 years weren't great, and now they have to be wondering if he would leave, given that we have Kyler Murray and we have an ascending team, would we be able to attract a better overall coach than Cliff Kingsbury if all of a sudden this job is available?
The game between the Cowboys and the Raiders on Thanksgiving night averaged the most viewers since 1998. Well, that is in general, all the Thanksgiving games, most viewers since 1998. That late game was the most watched NFL regular season game since December of 1990. Since my junior year of college, Giants and Niners, Sims against Montana. And Mike, I don't know how many years we went through of the number of people performatively announcing, I'm never watching this league again. I'll tell you, this league gonna drive me away. I ain't watching no more. Liars, 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 liars. And we called it at the time, and we called them liars at the time, and I'll be damned if they weren't.
Well, and to the NFL's benefit, the fires subsided dramatically from where they were a few years ago, when the things the NFL was doing were highly politicized and the kneeling during the national anthems was a much bigger story, and it's all kind of gone away. And, you know, this is one of the things that helps and hurts the NFL. The absence of a viable alternative when it comes to professional football on Sundays during football season, it is going to eventually cause people to come back. And on Thanksgiving, when your choices are watch football or interact with your family, by late afternoon, it's football time. And the NFL did it right. Raiders, Cowboys, a couple of national brands. They ended up getting a very good game, even though there were 28 penalties in the game that were actually called and accepted. They got a great game. They got a high-scoring game. They got a college-style 36-33 outcome. And I thought earlier this year that Buccaneers-Patriots game with all the hype would maybe challenge one of those great games from years gone by. I remember that Giants-49ers game. They were both 10-1 going into that Monday night game. That was my third year of law school. And I remember seeing that game creeping closer and closer every week and how exciting it was. And the other high watermark, the Holy Grail, is Bears-Dolphins from December of 1985, which is the biggest audience in, I think, post-merger NFL history. So you get the right matchup on Thanksgiving in that Cowboys spot on a year when the Cowboys are good and the game is good, we could see 40 million get busted, because it definitely does every year when we get to the higher stakes games. The question is, will those Thanksgiving games, especially the Cowboys game, ever be one of those games that can jump past 40 million? And you know, the bottom line is, people are going to keep watching the NFL, and as the audience fractures into every streaming service imaginable, the one thing that pulls a live audience together like nothing else is NFL football.
Except for maybe the Lions game against the Bears that happened before it. I am curious if the NFL would ever back off of the Lions having the early game if their run like this from a success point continues. If they say, it's been time, you know, we need somebody else in that early game, if the Lions, if that ever even was remotely possible.
Well, there was a push 15 years or so ago for that to happen, and the compromise was they created the night game on Thanksgiving, and that rotates among teams with no one holding the hammer lock on that assignment year in and year out. They continue to justify the Lions' as hosting one of these games because they did it when no one else wanted to do it. I don't know how many years that's good for. Like, is that a 50-year thing? Is it a 100-year thing? At what point do you lose that presumption? Now, the other side of it is I kind of like it because it is part of the Thanksgiving tradition, and it's a great spot for it because it's, you know, you really don't have to fully pay attention. It's kind of background noise. It's usually not a great game. So you're kind of easing your way into the day. You're eating your meal. I know, at least in the East Coast time zone, we're in that 2 to 3 o'clock window where the game's still on and, you know, it's no big deal. And maybe you see the end of it if it's any good. So it's kind of a harmless game to put in that spot when you're otherwise focused on other things. But I don't see it changing anytime soon. And it doesn't matter how good or bad the Lions are.
I saw that Leonard Fournette was named Offensive Player of the Week. And it's funny because yesterday we were just talking to Paul Charchian about what has happened to so many running backs and top running backs. And first-round picks are absolutely useless or being forgotten about or blowing up or not being successful. And then out of nowhere on this back channel, here comes a guy who what was considered one of those failed high draft picks. And I'll be damned if it, when I've watched Leonard Fournette, you know what? His hands have gotten better. His vision has gotten better. He actually has done something that I had written off from a scouting perspective. Is he's improved at some things at which he wasn't very good at the NFL level. It's a pretty cool thing.
And it's been a memorable year for him because it was right around this time last year when Bruce Arians, the coach of the Buccaneers, went to him when he was moping and he was upset and he wasn't the starter and he was a healthy scratch for one game when they used LeSean McCoy as the third down back behind Ronald Jones. And Arians said to him, you take a half hour and you go inside and you decide whether or not you want to be on this team. And if you don't, we'll cut you. And you just have to let me know whether or not you want to be part of this team. And that's when he resolved that he did want to be part of the team, and they used him extensively in the playoffs that year because Ronald Jones was injured. Now he's become the guy in Tampa Bay, and he's on a one-year deal, so he's laying the foundation to go out there and get paid on the open market. But, you know, the reality is running backs on the open market just don't get paid. No one pays a running back like the team that already employs the running back, and that running back has become a favorite son of the team, and everyone has the jersey. That's one of the dangers of going all in with a running back. You create a guy that you can't move on from, even though there are plenty of guys out there, rookies with full tread on the tires that you can bring in who can do basically the same thing. You got to keep that guy. And we've seen, look at all the injured running backs now who have gotten big contracts. They got the big contracts because they were the workhorse mm-hmm. that became a star. And politically, from a customer relations standpoint, you're forced to pay the guy when it gets to that point.
A report came out about Robert Griffin III writing an explosive tell-all book about the dysfunctional Washington football team. You touched on it at Pro Football Talk. What can you tell us about the book?
Well, look, I don't know anything about it now other than there's probably going to be plenty of stuff in there, and I'm going to wonder why he kept his mouth shut about it at the time or at any point before it was time to write a book. Not that that means anything he's saying isn't true, but I'm just going to be very curious to see what is in there and how he also deals with his own failures and shortcomings. Is this going to be everyone else gets the blame for the things that maybe I could have done better, or is he going to own up to some of his own participation in the failure to become the quarterback that he needed to be? But, you know, obviously any tales of dysfunction from inside that organization are going to be worth paying attention to. And he definitely is going to have an axe to grind. I'm just going to be very interested in scrutinizing how much of it is axe grinding and how much of it is truth telling.
Speaking of that, here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his embattled toe. And he goes on his favorite podcast to say, with these reports, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know who's talking. It seems like there's certain coaches that may have friends in the media that they don't realize are actually just trying to report things on. And then he was pressed on that, saying, is he talking about the Packers coaches? And he said there were guys for a while who had their people they would leak stuff to. And I'm thinking, hold on, if you're the same guy that's actually taking off your sock and showing your foot. Does that move, and we talk all the time about the misuse and misapplication of HIPAA, does that not constitute a waiver of your rights in some of this regard? If you are literally stripping off your sock and showing your foot on camera, can you be the same guy bitching about people leaking things about your toe?
Yeah, that was amazing to me. And I know that he believes that doing the McAfee show with AJ Hawk every Tuesday in some way helps him because it allows him to communicate on his own terms. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger used to do a weekly radio thing in Pittsburgh on 93.7 The Fan, and it created so many negative headlines, it got to the point where he realized, I probably shouldn't do this anymore. And you got to ask yourself, when you look at the body of work, the various appearances and the things he's said, when he's not in an environment where someone is going to stand up and push him hard, he can say whatever he wants. He makes some claims that are very over the top. And this is counterintuitive for me because I hope he keeps doing it because it's very good. Very good for our business. But he probably should exercise some self-awareness and recognize, I shouldn't be doing this. No good is coming out of this for me because, look, he's the one that talked openly and publicly about his broken toe. It's worse than turf toe. It's a broken – here's my toe. Look at my broken toe. And the only thing that was reported, citing unnamed sources, was that he decided on Monday that he wants to hold off for now on surgery. He had just said the day before he was going to have more tests the following day and decide on whether or not to have surgery. What did he expect? Of course someone is going to try to find out what the answer is to that decision-making process. So I just think that it's both fascinating and stunning that he would be so petty in a setting where, like this, he has only himself to blame for all of the information that we have about the status of his broken pinky toe.
I'm not surprised. He wants to control everything. And the only place he has self-awareness is on a football field in the pocket.
It is amazing to think of what a great quarterback he can be, and at the same time, he's managing this off-field image crafting. I mean, think about it. How long has he been in the NFL? His only major sponsorship is State Farm, and at one point he switched agencies to get more. And you look at all the deals that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes have, there's a real disconnect between the achievements on a football field by Aaron Rodgers and how he's been able to turn that into, you know, a thriving off-field business. And you wonder how much of it is just him. Maybe when he's dealing with these people, they come away from the interaction saying, well, we don't want to do business with this guy. That's speculation. I don't want to get called out at the press conference today or
yeah, you do.
Have him accidentally call someone. Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah, I kind of do. Then we can have something else we can add to the open every time I'm on.
Well put.
Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Next up, baseball skullduggery, and we may owe an apology to Pete Alonso. So we're going to hear from him.
Like Francesa. Alonso, I'm sorry.
Alonso, I'm sorry. I don't know why that sounded like Parkins. But back in June. Oh no! I think I've started something and I didn't mean to. But we're gonna come back to something. There's a story broke yesterday that is bigger than I think we're even aware. So we'll try to figure out what's going on next on The Score.
Hey, you know what? Just listen. Let the Mets take the bus instead of coming north on a turnpike. Send it south. Let the 69 Mets suit up tomorrow night. This is a disgrace. I can't even believe it. You can't lose this game. Get rid of all of them. They're a bunch of jokers. Alonso, I apologize.
That's the classic. And
into Sledgehammer from Francesa. Boomer Radio, let's go.
Even though this song is about sex, actually, but that's neither here nor there. But we will.
What isn't?
That's true. We owe an apology to Pete Alonso, apparently, again. So let's replay quickly what he said back in June regarding what sounded like a completely outlandish conspiracy theory.
But before we do, let's set this up. Because how many times have you said to me, Dan, whatever your middle name is, Bernstein.
Jacob.
Okay, Dan JB, that You're like, hey, this isn't a work stoppage. This is a lockout.
That's
like,
the growth plate.
Yes. Stop letting the man tell you how to phrase this because the man don't owe you nothing. The man gets whatever he wants. I mean, for goodness sake, look at Wilson Contreras tweeting plane emojis because Yan Gomes got signed. That's the point here.
Hold on. So, you're DJ Bernstein and we're just learning this now?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why is that a big deal?
It just sounds funny.
Hip hop fiends, Rick and Layla over here.
Oh, because my name is actually D and J.
DJ yes. Bernstein on the ones and twos. See, he can't. It's impossible.
No, it's bad.
Now it must
that'd
be a thing.
That'd be really bad.
Okay, but the point being, we all are like, hey, that guy's getting too much money, or this guy's getting too much money. The dude's getting too much money are the owners that we don't talk about, okay? Because they're the ones with the real money here, and we're just talking about relative scraps. So another example of this is the players talking about the ball. We've talked to Dr. Meredith Wills about the makeup of the ball, coefficient of tangent, whether or not it was juiced or just loosely stitched. And the report comes out yesterday that Major League Baseball was using two different balls. And here we are questioning whether or not Pete Alonso and other players were saying that they were doing this in the face of a work stoppage for a reason. Once again, what did we do? We listened to the man, did we not? We owe this guy an apology.
Sorry, stand by.
It's my fault. I paused dramatically.
This is why we can't have nice things, Mike.
It's me, too. I cue differently than
No, it's Mike. Is.
I hadn't heard until you mentioned it, the idea that they do it based on free agent class. Is that something that players talk about and believe in?
Oh, no, that's a fact. It's not. Guys have talked about it, but in 2019, there's a huge class of free agent pitchers. And then that's quote unquote, the juice balls. And then, 2020 was a strange year with the COVID season. But now that we're back to playing a regular season with, a ton of shortstops or position players, that are going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. It's not a coincidence. And I think that it definitely is something that they do.
Boom.
And we learned from Business Insider yesterday, a writer named Bradford William Davis got the receipts, and it was none other than our one-time guest, Dr. Meredith Wills, astrophysicist, who has, when she was on our show,
right,
asking people, send me baseballs if you have baseballs. And she has cross-referenced the lot numbers now that MLB owns Rawlings. And where MLB lied about it, they said, well, we had some of the older balls that we had to use because there was a production issue. And it was a lie. And she matched up the lot numbers, which now means MLB is probably going to fudge the lot numbers on all this stuff.
Because they can.
But she caught them. She caught him. She said, no, MLB was not telling anybody. They were swapping out baseballs to get desired outcomes that they wanted.
2 gram weight difference. In the game where we talk about sticky stuff and whether or not that affected everybody's spin rate, 2 whole gram weight difference. And you mean to tell me that that didn't do anything to your league where numbers are so bloody sacred?
And now it's taken on another level. Because of sports betting. And there is a belief now that MLB can game the betting system too.
Somebody's got to keep this honest. And that's where a third party, like at least outside money betting on games, might come in handy. Because they can't do this arbitrarily. They're messing with people's livelihoods, clearly. There was also a reason they wanted to manufacture the balls. And now you're telling me that in a game where millimeters matter, that you were just going to do this and outcomes be damned? We talked to Jed Hoyer about this before the season began. And did you see the idea that based on what we saw early in the season, it wasn't just sticky stuff. That was the public MLB distraction. Hey, look over here. Don't worry about this other thing we're doing behind our back. Look at this shiny thing that we'll get you all to talk about. There were no hitters. There was a bunch of them. We saw them come very, very early. And then suddenly, there weren't as many, and they went back to the lighter weight ball. But here we all are thinking, oh, it's the sticky stuff the pitchers are using. They've used bullfrog forever.
And just so you know, the lighter weight ball doesn't travel as well. If you think, it's counterintuitive. The lighter weight ball with looser seams was the non-juiced one. The heavier, tighter one had the more elastic collisions and further carry.
It's also kind of like how at Coors Field, you'd think it's a fence issue to move it in, but really the doubles are what caused most of the offense there and not exactly the home runs. But either way, why are we talking about the things amongst us, the peasants, when the feudal lords are the ones gaming the system here?
And this in something similar happened in Japan, and the commissioner was shamed into stepping down because that in that nation there is still something called honor and something called shame, which we don't have in our country
and
anymore.
A uniform ball by Mizuno that has a textured surface that everybody uses.
But think about what you said about the crackdown on sticky stuff. The reason why pitchers were using more and more of it, even if you want to say, yeah, it got out of hand with spider tack, that was a bridge too far. But the fact they felt they had to do it and the way they described, especially in cold weather with the dust on the ball, and they were only trying to compete because baseball was messing with them. And then baseball cracks down on them and says, we're going to suspend you and we're going to police you because of what we're doing.
That's it.
It's amazing to me.
That's a big old gaslight.
And I'm a non-gambler. But if I were, if this were something that I did for entertainment or for a little extra walking around money, I wouldn't touch baseball. If it's not real, if some of this is being gamed, I wouldn't come close to it unless there was some sort of reassurance from some sort of governing body or sanctioning administration of a regime of some kind to tell you things are on the up and up.
Right. I think the summary is, like, we call it the juice balls. Really, they always call it the 2019 ball. That seems to be the common terminology. But either way, if they're the ones controlling everything, then what exactly is going on here? And I don't mind that this news came out before the deadline that we have today. I don't mind that at all. This had to come out at some point, and props to Dr. Meredith Wills for talking to us and doing what she does and measuring this and knowing what she saw was real.
Crowdsourcing it. People were foul balls that they caught at various times, whether it was spring games or into the season. They were sending her these baseballs, and she sits in her home and picks them apart. And she undoes the seams and looks at the seams under different microscopes and measures the tension of some of this stuff and then cross-references everything with batted ball statistical, whatever is available, the StatCast data and the lot numbers of the produced baseballs. An example that they gave here was this is also Sean Doolittle, who has been alleging some of this stuff.
Yes.
Sean Doolittle suspected that Joey Votto had benefited from a change in the ball during his late July power surge. He said the first homer that he hit to start the streak was an opposite field homer in Cincinnati that carried out to straightaway left. 41-degree launch angle, 98-mile-an-hour exit velocity. It was 350 feet. Doolittle said it's a weak fly ball. It had an 8% home run probability.
Mm.
Several games later, 110 miles an hour, near perfect 24-degree launch angle, 92% home run probability that didn't leave the yard. The only way to explain that, with all else being accounted for, was different baseballs.
But don't worry about that. It's the players using this sticky stuff, which, yes, there was some evidence to that too, but kind of hypocritical. When you're doing something that's far more wide-reaching. Piece of metal. They're just playing for a piece of metal, Dan.
On the outset of the start of tonight's lockout, too, where all you got to have trust in a labor negotiation. And what this does to undermine trust, this is a bombshell when it comes to questioning that kind of bargaining table trust.
Think about what Tom Brady and the Deflategate caused. Now you're talking about a whole different ball. Between this and Lonzo and LaMelo, there's been a lot of ball talk this week, even for us.
Ball talk on the score.
With Steve-O in the bucket.
They talk about balls. There's Steve-O and the bucket.
He's a baller. He balls.
And you're still fired. And that makes me happy.
There's no peace. There's no Bulls game today. We have nothing.
Doesn't it feel like there should be?
Yeah. I don't like it when the Bulls and the Hawks play at the same time on the same day.
I'm bothering me. I just feel like there should be a Bulls game. I kind of need one. I should play one in my head.
The Bulls are happy to have 2 days off.
Don't bring facts into this.
I'm sure they are. But I just...
We need sports.
Sports.
This is true.
When we come back on the Midday Midway, yet the latest reason why Guar continues to be awesome.
I asked you a question that I don't know that I can ask you on the air. I'm going to try to get through this story in a way that is appropriate, but it's not, hence why it's the Midday Midway story next.
Steve-O and the Bucket. Middays on the Score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on the Score.
We are at the Wednesday Midday Midway. That means we are starting the end of your week. It's all downhill from here. We have made it to this point, and now it's on into the weekend for you. We started out by talking about what the, not just Leury Garcia, who he actually is, but what Leury Garcia, the abstract concept, also can represent. Right?
Because conceptual Leury Garcia.
Yeah, they're different things. No, we're being honest. That's what we've been doing. He's not the starting second baseman. You don't want him to be the starting second baseman, but it's not fair to him to get mad at him for re-signing with the White Sox.
Being there for people.
Yes, all he's done is be Leury Garcia. And that's all
for you.
For you and for the last 10 years as a member of the White Sox. So whatever that is, isn't something that should invoke anger. But I get it. I understand why it seems like something like that, while fine, is not what the White Sox should be doing and certainly shouldn't be celebrating publicly.
You know who would understand conceptual Leury Garcia? One Nick Castellanos and his 4.5 war.
You mentioned him before, obliquely.
Get another nest. We need a White Sox second baseman outfielder.
All I
nest.
Have are fat rabbits in the back now. Madge and whoever is with Madge is there, and they are listening to the podcast.
And they're members of Fat Rabbits?
Getting ready for winter. And by the way, December 1st, rabbit. If that is a family tradition in your head on the first day of the month, to make sure you say that before anything else. I beat everybody to the punch today.
Didn't know it was a thing until September.
Wife and both kids, a gif of three rabbits, beat everybody to the punch. Winner today.
Explains my life. I didn't know this until 3 months ago. Okay. I'll start with this. I don't know if I'm going to get through it. There are words here. A woman on a Delta Airlines flight reportedly began to breastfeed her cat during the flight and refused to stop when confronted by the crew.
The big question, where was the flight originating from and where was it going to?
Hell. It was going to hell.
Michigan?
According to Newsweek, the incident happened on a flight between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. What say you now, Rick?
Syracuse is... okay.
Like effects snow, it makes people do crazy things.
We know enough people that have gone to Syracuse to know that that's on the table.
You're never getting a job in sports media again.
Leave me alone, I'm breastfeeding my cat.
Oh my God.
My cat's hungry, he's gonna eat.
Okay, so this became public record because there was a screenshot of an aircraft communications addressing a reporting system, ACARS, ACARS, maybe, I don't know because I'm not a pro, message from the pilot to the ground which says requested red coat meet AC passenger in seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carrier when the flight attendant requested. How dare you, flight attendant? And 13A sounds pretty bougie. So, flight attendant Ainsley Elizabeth, who was allegedly on the flight, added on TikTok on November 13th, this woman had one of those, like, hairless cat, swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up, vomit, and she was trying to get the cat to latch, and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier, and the cat was screaming for its life.
Ew.
Delta says that they have seen passengers interpret emotionally supportive animals to mean anything from comfort turkeys, which cracks me up, gliding possums, snakes, spiders, and more over the years. But that is a disgusting mental picture.
The emotional support animal needed an emotional support animal.
Yeah, I don't even know where
the cat didn't even want to do it. And a hairless cat and a woman has like, that's too much. All of that is way too much.
Even for a Delta flight.
No, thank you. I don't even know what to say. Like, it's...
broke the midday midway.
Anything short, if it's an airline story, anything short of violent anti-masker screaming about his freedoms... Like, if the fact that it's just this, like, we've gotten to the point now where I'm almost like, oh, that's fine. That we don't have somebody trying to pull one of the emergency slides at 30,000 feet or trying to jump out the back because of some sort of QAnon thing. Like, it's almost heartwarming to have something this just disgusting.
No, that's, they're all bad. They're all bad things. They're bad.
Always had a soft spot for the band GWAR, G-W-A-R, and it hasn't quite been the same ever since their founder and lead singer, the heart and soul of the band, Dave Brocky, who played the character of Odorous Urungus, ever since he died of an overdose. But they have rocked on forever now, and they started in 1984, amazingly enough, and GWAR is a self-aware thrash metal more than half. They're an art school project in on the joke band that also has a fandom that gets the whole vibe. And I don't know how they are musically. I don't really know or care. I like that they exist. I like that this is a bit in the way that it is. And something recently happened just about a week or so ago. They were doing a show at the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, and amid their wild mosh pit that they have in front of the stage, one of their fans lost a prosthetic leg. So what do you do if that's the case? So the guy's limping around, and he got the band's attention. Apparently, according to the band on Instagram, it is not the first or last time someone has lost a body part in the GWAR pit.
A prosthetic body part?
Or an actual body part, they don't say, but it was caught on video, and this was how their lead singer, Blothar, handled it.
We've got a fake leg out there! We're got an extra fake leg out there! I'm not saying it this way, because it's what I need to There we go!
So they found it. And he got a fake leg out there, or he said, or an extra fake leg. If someone had come to the concert and just so happened to have an extra prosthetic leg with him, he made sure that that was a possibility, and they immediately passed it up to the guy, and he put it back on and went right back into the mosh pit.
That's how you do it. I like it when people combine for good reasons to have good things happen. That makes me happy.
There are just look, if you can get this many white men in a room together and not have something horrible happen, that's a win. Again, a low bar.
Hey, let's take the self-loathing out of
that's
this.
That's a low bar
let's
on this.
Prop people
I'm
up
not
right
an
now.
Idiot. Like, if the fact that GWAR can assemble a room full of aggressive-seeming, screaming white men and have everything kind of be nice and okay, that's a huge victory.
Did you ever think that perhaps it is good to have an outlet and self-awareness is also key to this function?
Well said. Yeah.
The
knowing who you are and what you are and why you're there and what you're doing and taking care of people and being nice to people and have everybody there to support each other, even if it's for something as silly as a pretend death metal band wearing giant foam rubber penises on their heads.
It's a sense of humor. That's yes. A bunch of people with a sense of humor. It's good. It's all really. Also, I like that metal song. It's not GWAR, but it's about beer and it cracks me up. It's like just a death metal song about beer, and I always forget who sings it, and everybody always tells me, and I always forget like a jerk. 815 with a good question. If somebody doesn't lose a body part, is it really a GWAR show? I mean, this is a good question.
Psycho Stick? I think it's Psycho Stick, maybe.
It's just a funny song. Like, it's just a funny metal song about beer. I like it when metal has a sense of humor. It makes me happy. Beer is good! Beer is good! Is that not great?
I've never been to a Guar show. Do they? Where do they play when they come here? Do they play like...
Boy, Dan just like blew right past that. Layla's like, huh, how about this whole deal? And he's like, yeah, Guar though.
What more can you say? Well,
what am I going to say? Good. Beer isn't good?
Beer is good. I don't even drink beer as a habit, but I still like the idea.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the station for having that bite in the sound system. That's awesome.
Do we know who's responsible for putting it in?
I have no idea.
The whole song is pretty
solid. My guess is Rock Mamola back in the day.
It's an old song.
John the Rock Mamola.
John the Rock Mamola. Is that Daddy's blog?
Excuse me. That term is not allowed on this show for my
That term's disbarred.
Apparently, Ronji and Cody Decker hosted and ruined my quiet day in Santa Barbara last week.
How could that ruin your day?
How can it not ruin my day?
You don't have to listen to it if you don't want to.
It didn't matter. I got alerted via the internet.
Daddy-o.
Oh, barf. That plus the cat breastfeeding on the plane story is my... That's a circle. That's one of the Dante's Inferno circles.
Would you rather have to sit next to Ronji when he has a full thing of Malort? Or...
Thing of language. Yeah. What receptacle is the thing?
Does he carry a Malort flask?
I mean, I'm
that
just
would
assuming...
make him prepared, which is a no. Ronji just goes through life and life comes to him all nonchalant.
I'm just trying to think of like what could we add to Ronji to make him probably more annoying? Or would you rather sit next to the person breastfeeding their cat?
These are my options.
Yep.
The text line's going crazy right now. The 219 wants to know if Ed Orgeron is the lead singer of Guar. He actually looks like a guy wearing a foam rubber head, doesn't
Wait,
he?
Wait, you do the best Orgeron. Can you put this together? Can we conceptualize Ed Orgeron?
I don't know the Guar lyrics enough.
No. Okay, say Ed O's singing about threatening to kill a guy. If I'm like, if this is the Ed Orgeron goodbye press conference, and I'm the reporter in New Orleans, and I'm like, well, coach, what have you been doing?
Down the bayou, we got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
Now that you're not the head coach of LSU anymore, what are you doing?
Well, I've been the lead singer for a pretend rock band. It's a punk band called Guar, and I've been doing a lead singer for them.
Can you sing us a few bars?
We got a special place in the bayou for people like that.
I feel like we've done good here.
Guar plays the Vic or the Riviera, according to a text. So they play Riot Fest. And here's a guy shooting a shot, asking you out. 630, hey, Layla, want to go to a Guar concert next time they're in town with me? Oh, wait, never mind. My wife said she loves Guar and wants to go. I have to take her instead. He put his name on it, too. That's from Sean in Geneva.
I hope your wife is a happy person, Sean.
And the 815 says, big shock that Bernstein hasn't been to a Guar concert. I don't even know who you're trying to make fun of there.
I think it's just like an observation. Today, an obvious observation.
Well, I would go.
Bernstein hasn't been to a Guar show.
I would go. I haven't been actively trying to stay away from a Guar. Like I say, I like them. I like the idea of them. I'm glad there is a Guar.
You like the concept of Larry Garcia and the concept of Guar? Is this a show or are we in the Matrix today?
I like the concept of Guar better than the concept of Larry Garcia. And if you want to play members of Guar as rotating as your White Sox second base platoon, then we've got a thing.
That would be Larry Garcia?
So... Ooh.
Guarcia! We did it. We combined it everything. It. I even added an extra syllable to combine
it's
just now.
It's a fake starting second baseman.
Starting at second base for your Chicago White Sox, Balzac, the Jaws of Death. Number 12, Jizmac DeGusha.
You know who is perfect
Number
for
eight,
this?
Number 8, Blothar.
Gene Honda.
That's what I was doing.
Gene Honda has the perfect metal band baseball intro voice.
Or have him announce Guar. Yes.
You know what's happening? Brooks Boyer's never calling into our show again because we're going to be like, hey, Brooks, we have an idea.
Starting at base, number 36, Beefcake the Mighty.
See, this is way cool. Like, Elvis Knight is awesome and all, but like, we need a new concept.
Guar Knight?
Just Metal Knight in general. And that has to be the name. Metal Knight in general.
Well, oh, and then Benetti could do full Benetica. We are tied.
What are we doing? We are not radio show hosts. We are marketing geniuses. Fine, we'll break.
Hub's next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.